I'm ready.
Hey everyone, I am Alex from This Family Tree, and this is my husband Shane. Lucy is in bed, and I am so happy you could join us for happy hour. So Shane, last week, I thought I was going to start a segment, What Does Lucy Look Like This Week? And last week, she looked like Varys the Spider from Game of Thrones.
I cut it out that segment.
Oh, good. Okay, because okay. I was going to say that's not going to happen anymore because we're not releasing videos on YouTube, so there's no point.
Right. But we do film, we still are filming this, and the reason we do that is to promote it on Instagram.
Yes.
And I guess because a podcast is, especially if you're a busy mom, maybe you're a dad too listening to this, and you're busy also, it's easier to just listen than watch.
100%.
So we found the first video, like did gangbusters with 1,500 views, and then the next one got 400 views, and then the next one got 180 views.
Wah,
like,
wah, wah.
Okay, but each pod keeps getting more listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So that's climbing.
Yep, and it is good to have a more specific direction, so I feel happy about that. So what I wanted to start with you then, each week, since we're kind of decompressing on a Saturday over a couple light brewskis,
mm-hmm.
growing up, and you know about this, but for the listeners, growing up, whenever we would do something as a family, my mom and my dad would ask us at the end of the trip or the end of the day, what was our apple and what was our onion of the trip of the day? So the apple is the sweetest thing, the best thing that happened to you. And the onion is the crappiest thing that happened to you. So for the week, what is your apple and what is your onion?
For the week?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll start with onion just because... Yeah, I went out and I got a bad hangover because it's hard to drink. So that would be my definite onion.
What about your apple?
Can I say that we fooled around today?
Sure.
Oh, the cat's here. Oh, no.
This is turning
this
into
is
a segment.
New segment. Okay, I'm just going to grab the cat real quick. So, yeah, the little bit of hanky panky today was a good one.
Yeah, I think that was good too. So I to clarify, hangover, a drink. I mean, yeah, my onion was also that, because that was irresponsible, and my apple was.
So just to clarify, your hangover. Sorry, your onion was me having a hangover.
No, my onion was you being as irresponsible as you were.
Right.
Because that made me very mad. And then we had to have a discussion because neither one of us was happy with the other one's.
Which led to a spanking, which was part of the hanky panky.
Anyways, my apple would have been that I finally had a super great week at work. I got to see a lot of people I knew. I got free donuts. I got a bag of candy delivered to me by a favorite student. And at one point in the week, I was walking down the hallway and literally three kids put up their hands and were like, "Yo, Miss Lamparski," and gave me high fives. And it was like out of a movie. Like I was like the cool teacher putting on their sunglasses.
Were you like, it's actually Mrs. Cunningham because I'm married.
No, I do not go by Cunningham at work.
No offense taken.
I like to keep lives separate.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Now that bit's done, do we want a dad's corner?
I would love a dad's corner. So this is Shane's new segment where he shares a tip, trick, piece of advice, pearl of wisdom with
listeners. I'm going to put a little musical piece here this week.
I'm excited.
So I think last week I did accidentally. It wasn't supposed to be there. But okay. So this week it'll be like dad's corner. Okay, so this week, I'm going to talk about something that happened today that I think more people should do in general.
The spanking?
No. Come on. This, I'm not sure who did this. It was either you or Nona. But I noticed Lucy was really having an aversion to her little sippy cup. Like, she just was hating it. And I was like, I had a weird hunch. I'm like, I'm going to taste this sippy cup water. So I taste it. It's disgusting. Like, it is, like, the worst tasting water ever. And it's pure soap.
And too clean.
It's too clean. And that's because, I guess, it's a plastic cup, and the worry is that plastic cups tend to trap germs more. And I know Nona is obsessed with Dawn dish soap. But
she uses it for everything.
So she's the number one suspect. But a couple times you have given me a glass and it was soapy. Like, you've cleaned a glass and it was tasted very soapy. So I don't know who did it, but that's not the point of the segment. My advice is taste things before you give them to your kids.
That's good advice. Sounds stupid. And I taste her food all the time before I give it to Lucy, because I'm always testing for the softness and whether she can choke on it or not. But sippy cup, I just kind of wash and go and assume everything's going to be okay. So that's
because water seems like, oh, it's obviously not going to taste weird. It's water. But it did. It was very disgusting. And now I understand why Lucy kind of graduated towards regular cups. It's not just that she wants a regular cup. It's that she hates the sippy cup.
Do you think she will eventually try it again if we make sure that...
We just have to prove to her that the water is safe, because...
Gain her trust.
It was unconscionably bad. It's not like it had a little soap residue or aftertaste. Mm-hmm. It was like, I'd say at least 45% soap.
Yeah.
No good.
No, that's awful. That's
my advice. Yeah. Dad's Corner. Okay, so that segment, how do you think that went? That was pretty good, I thought.
I like it. No, I like it. And I like that you're not casting direct blame on anybody,
too. No, it's just, it's either you or Nona.
It's true. It's one of us.
Mm-hmm. Not me. Okay, now do we ask each other a question or do you want to take a call?
No, let's ask one question and then we will do a call.
Okay.
Do you think that our parenting styles align and will continue to, or will not continue to?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, I think you're more like the micro expert, and I'm probably the broader expert. Does that make sense? I'm certainly not the language expert. I don't know how to word this properly. Yeah, like, you know all the little details and food things that may not make a huge difference, but are very, very important once they all are stacked up throughout the day. And I kind of am the more philosophical leader, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's how I'd put it too. And I'd say that not only are you that for Lucy and as a dad, but you are that in regards to like our family as a whole and us as a couple, where I think I'm more concerned with important minutiae sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then you're always getting us to kind of step back and look at the big picture and how things will work and stack up. Yeah.
So I think I was listening. I think Zach Lowe, I believe he's a sportscaster, but he was kind of saying you marry your deficits. So
do we do a bad job with that?
No, because you're good at things. At things I'm bad at, you're good. Like, look, a lot of people say you're the man of the house, which is, I find, very sexist. And but you're out there flipping burgers, driving me around places. And you're a good Parker. I'm not a good Parker.
Well, baby, you look real pretty every day.
Thanks. But what I'm saying is, I although I do think we are similar, I do also think we have missing pieces that we fill.
I was going to make a hanky-panky joke, but I...
Sorry. And again, deficits. I'm very funny, and I find you sometimes swing for the fences. No, you are funny in a different way, obviously. Some might call it unintentional comedy. Some might say your comedy's better than mine, but it's definitely different.
Well, we'll leave it to the people to decide.
Yeah.
All right, baby, what's your question?
Okay. Do you want to raise Lucy as a girl or gender neutral? Is that a funny question?
No, it's funny because I was thinking about something like that in regards to asking you. And then when I was thinking about that, I realized that I haven't really thought about that too much on my own, because I think that my own definition of a girl is more of a gender neutral definition of what a girl is anyways.
Oh, come on. You wanted to pierce her ears when she was like 3 weeks old.
Yeah. But I began seeing differently after talking with you about it. But I mean, in regards to other things like, put her in ballet, only wear pink, all that. Like,
she dresses throw her pretty pinky purpley.
Yeah, it's stuff we get. Like, people are buying us outfits. I'm not going to not
slap
put her
a bow
stuff
on her head pretty quick. I don't think we'd be doing that to Bob.
No, but I'm not saying that I'm gender neutral. I'm just saying that I don't think I'm going to push anything super hard. Like, if she gets a pink outfit, I'm going to put her in the pink outfit. Just like if she gets a blue oversized basketball jersey, which she has, I'm going to put her in that. I go to Once Upon a Child to buy her clothes when I'm buying them. And I look in the girls' and boys' sections just for something that would look cute on her. Not necessarily, like, I'm not going to get her a boy's outfit that looks like a boy's outfit, like a plaid collared golf shirt, let's say. But if it's just like a whatever onesie or t-shirt and it looks adorable, I'm going to get that for her. And then when you think of activities and things, I mean, like, I grew up playing sports. All my friends grew up playing sports. I don't know. I think now too, girls and boys do everything. Mm-hmm. So I think to say gender neutral, it's almost like everything is gray. And in my mind, it's like drab. And it's like, you're not pushing anything. You're not encouraging anything. You're just encouraging nothing. Like, this is a very, very small outlook, because I don't understand what I would need to do to raise a kid gender neutral.
Well, the question's kind of confusing too, in a way, if you really think of it. Like, you know what I mean?
I'm
talking about stereotypes. But in reality, it's like, the question could be deemed offensive, because what does that mean?
Like, everything can be deemed offensive.
But I mean, like, gender, like, are you going to raise him as a girl? What does that mean? Like, she's not going to like monster trucks or play sports? I guess that is what the question's saying.
I guess, and then in regards to anything else, am I going to use gender neutral pronouns with her? No. I am trying to make a change, and I'm trying to use those professionally with my students. I'm trying to use gender neutral pronouns. But with Lucy, no, I'm going to say she, her. And I'm going to, unless she gives me any reason to think differently, or directly tells me eventually to refer to her differently or treat her differently, then I will refer to her as a girl and let her get into whatever she wants, whether it's monster trucks or ballet, whatever. But I will be calling her a girl and using female pronouns.
Yeah, I think, not that you asked me a question, but I think I'm going to raise her as a boy.
That would be a real kink in her parenting plans there. It would not be aligning.
I guess.
Can you imagine how confused she would be?
No, I just mean stereotypical boy, like sports heavy.
Oh, yeah, but same. Mm-hmm. But then the thing is, like, then that's not a boy. That's like.
No, I know. That's what I mean. I guess my question is almost like a question from the 80s, like asking, because I find you to be very, like, stereotypical girly besides sports. And I find myself to be not good at.
I thought you were going to say stereotypical girly too.
No. But I do find that I am stereotypically not good at anything that a man is supposed to be good at, except for sports. Mm-hmm. So I find it interesting, like, you and I, like, you're very on the money for, like, how a girly girl would act, minus sports. And I'm very not typical at all on how a man would be good at, minus sports.
Yeah.
It's just interesting.
No, it is interesting. And I've seen, I have taught several students that are transitioning, things like that, and that's why I really want to make the effort to use gender neutral.
What do you find more, transitioning from a woman to a man or man to a woman?
Just in the places that I've been, I've seen more females going to male.
Right. Interesting.
And gender fluid, mm-hmm. as well, more so than any males going transitioning to female.
Right.
But yeah, no, I'll be supportive of whatever Lucy wants and does, but I guess I will be, in terms of what I think people would expect today, raising her as a girl in terms of gender pronouns.
Okay. It was more of a 50-50 girl or boy thing, so... wait, what was the actual question? Yeah, it was just like, would you raise her as a girl or gender neutral? So the answer is gender neutral.
Not really. In between those, because in terms of what she's into and what she likes to do, whatever the hell she wants, gender neutral. But then in terms of, like, pronouns and technically girl or technically gender neutral, girl, I guess.
All right. Let's take a call.
All right, so we are making our first call to my parents. They're excited slash nervous, or maybe too excited about this question. I have a feeling they're going to want to get their own horns tooted a little bit, which of course we'd oblige.
Okay. Hello, this is This Family Tree Podcast.
Hello, this is This Family Tree's in-laws and parents.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to the show,
Hello.
Guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Don't
we have two questions.
Okay. I have a question for you to start it off.
Yikes.
Okay.
Have you been drinking?
Yes.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Is it Saturday night?
Yes.
Okay.
But I've also been swimming.
That's exciting.
Yes.
All right. What is your question? Question number one, I should say.
Okay. Question number one is me. What character trait did you get from your parents, Alex and Shane, that you would like to pass down to your children?
Nothing. My parents sucked. Next question. I'm kidding.
No, and by the way, it's to both of you, right?
Maybe Shane has something good to say.
Okay, I'll say my dad's sense of humor I always really looked up to. So, and I think I have some comedic qualities that I'd like Lucy to inherit.
Mm-hmm. And I, she does. And I would say my mom's compassion and drive to always be kind to those people around her and everybody in the family, even when it's difficult and you're going through tough things. But yeah, no, to this day, you are still the most kind and compassionate person. You really try to always let that drive you. So I definitely am not the best at that all the time, but I want to get better.
Let's bring that forward. Let's move it forward.
Well, I feel like you're leaving John hanging a little bit now. Because
screw John.
There's two parents
on the
line.
He's got his own question.
John's biting at the bit.
No, okay. You know what? I did want to say that about your mom and about you, Alex. But I know this about
your mom,
who's about my wife, Lorna, who was like the prettiest girl in high school. And yet, anybody that I know from high school, because we went to the same school together for a couple of years, always talks about how nice she was and how kind she was to everybody. Aww. And you know, she was not a snob. So and you know what, you've always been that way as well. So I'm glad you chose that one.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay. You're welcome. I have a question.
What's your question?
Okay. I want to talk about parental interference.
Hmm.
Okay. Now, you guys bought your, I hope, forever house, which is just gorgeous. And the best part is it's only 1 minute and 11 seconds away from our house. Okay. So, you know, and we try to always respect each other's privacy and all the rest of that stuff. But I just want to know, and by the way, we hope you respect our privacy as well, which you do. How do you feel about, for those parents and children who are very close to each other, as we are, how do you feel about a 15-minute warning call prior to any visits?
Well, one, just to let you know, before we recorded this podcast, Alex snuck into your house without asking you.
And, that little son of a gun.
And stole cracked canoe beer from you.
Guys, I stole.
It is Saturday night.
It is, and we're having a nice day at the Street Fest and being outside, and I didn't want to go in the car and go to the grocery store, so I did steal 6 cracked canoes from you guys, thanks to the proximity.
Did it just leap from 1 cracked canoe to 6 cracked canoes?
It did, yeah.
Now you're not respecting my privacy, which goes back to that first question that I asked you. Damn you, couldn't you have moved farther away?
So,
okay.
I think, yeah, for sure, a 15-minute rule, unless it's, you know, like, hey, I'm around the corner, can I stop by?
Yeah, I think that's why we're putting the 15 minute rule into effect.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. Okay, have we been interrupting on you guys?
Not without a 15 minute.
The entire 18 months that you guys have been together and had a baby and got married, yes, you have.
So I think what John's saying is it's, you know, we're all about our children, but we, you know, once in a while, we want to make sure our children respect our rules too.
Well, I don't think in this case, when you live that close, which yeah. I don't think a lot of people are in this situation as us, maybe mm-hmm. some True. Are though.
True.
I don't think you guys need any time limit, because if you just message with like a minute to spare and say, hey, I'm coming over, is that okay? And I say, actually, no, for some weird reason, it wouldn't really be any skin off your nose, because you'd yeah. be like, all right, I'm just...
You would say, give us 15 minutes.
I think we're turning that around on you and saying, when you come to our place...
When do we do that?
Respect our 15 minutes. I'm just saying, it's happened.
No, I think it's... Hey. I think in general, though, for the listeners, if this is an advice show, I think 15 minutes is good for any drop by, friends, family, or otherwise.
Perfect. Yeah, and I do think that showing up, and if you do have parents or in-laws that are like to just show up without warning, you do need to have that discussion and set a time limit, or just get them to give you a call in the morning mm-hmm. and say, hey, can we stop by today? Because... you might be doing something else. You might be tired and you don't want to see anybody. Well, I think, no, I...
You know what, Alex? When we were your age and, you know, we had a couple of kids, and let's face it, when you're young parents, the house isn't always perfect, right? Yeah. Isn't it always nice before a demanding mother-in-law shows up? Not that, you know, Lorna is, or, you know, Shane's mother, but isn't it nice just to have 15 minutes just to tidy up a little
yes,
bit.
Yes, yes, that's because, the best because, point. Yeah.
Yeah, you really always do want to impress
of course.
The mother-in-law, mm-hmm. especially the mother-in-law. I was going to say the father-in-law. Father-in-laws don't care. They just want to go on the deck and have a beer. But the mother, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if the purpose is to come in the house, yeah. like if it's kind of like, hey, I just want to hang on the porch, or if you're just driving by mm-hmm. and want to say
hi,
or like bring Lucy out and mm-hmm. wave at her or something, that requires less time. But yeah, the house being clean and not in, because I do get embarrassed if someone comes yeah. in and like I'm the house is messy or something. Yeah, oh, yeah. like no, I do get embarrassed.
Big time. No, I do think, and for those listeners, if you are in a situation like that and you don't know what to do, set a time limit. Talk to them. Be open about it. And, make sure that you do set a limit for everybody's sanity.
And I even just advice, too. I recommend, even before you call someone, texting them,
yeah,
can I call you?
Yeah.
Because then, often when you call, you get the reject thing mm-hmm. because they're not ready for it.
Yeah. Unexpected visits should just always be a no-no, and always give a text or at least a 15-minute call.
Yeah.
Yeah. But guys, you're the best. Thank you so much for your questions.
You didn't answer my question, but that's okay.
Yes, I did.
you did?
You got the best answer of all, Lorna.
And you said that you got the best answer of all, Lorna.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, guys. And do you think you'll be able to call into our podcast, which goes in about another hour?
Absolutely. 100%.
Okay. That's great. Have a great Saturday night.
All right.
Bye, you guys. Love you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Love you. Bye.
They are into the sauce.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lorna, like, I thought you were fairly complimentary to her. And it didn't stick.
No, I'm just shocked that it didn't stick, because she also appreciated my answer very much. And then my dad went on to talk about how what a kind person she was, too.
That's another quality you've inherited from Lorna, though.
What?
When you have very little alcohol, you can get a little flighty.
Okay, says...
It's not a huge insult.
Mr. Hangover here.
Oh, I guzzle 16 beers.
Yeah, which you shouldn't.
I'm not saying I should. Okay, let's do another call.
Hello?
Hello, this is Shane from This Family Tree Podcast.
And Alex.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, I'm so excited to be on your podcast.
Oh my gosh, we are so, because we've been trying to contact you for a while now. Right? It's been
I'm so glad it's finally working out.
Yeah. So your name is Jory?
Yes.
And Jory, where are you from?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, amazing. Cool. Very cool.
Or hot, I should say.
Yeah, that's the best.
It's very hot today.
Oh, that's so great. Well, Jory, thank you. You had a dance recital last week. You're a dance coach?
Yes, we did. So I know I didn't get to get your call last week. We were performing our end of the year recital, but
oh, that's awesome.
Working on this week.
Well, we didn't take it personally, and super happy to call you this week. But what is your question or remark?
Or tip?
Yeah, so so I do have a question, or I guess a topic of conversation, I guess. So I know just a little bit on your Instagram, I've seen that you guys have talked about that maybe you guys do want a second kid. I have a little girl who's about 11 months, and I was just wondering if having a kid, has that made you want another kid more, or kind of like, we're kind of content right now? Did you have like a timeline beforehand, and do you feel like you will stick to that timeline or not?
So I always kind of just from my upbringing want to have kids around 2 years apart, because that's the difference, age difference between my brother and I. And we mm-hmm. are like awesome best of friends. Like, I mean, we obviously fought growing up, you know, like any pair of siblings yeah. do. But even through that, we were still doing all the same things. And like, we'd get into the same music together at the same time. We'd be into sports at the same time. So it was so much fun. So I definitely still want to kind of stick to that age difference. I mean, I was wanting to have another kid like months after Lucy was born. I knew I couldn't, and my doctors would have killed me, and like my body wouldn't have been able to handle it. But I, as far as I'm concerned, and I think I'm speaking for both of us, we're sticking to that timeline. What about you, Shane?
Yeah. Alex was saying that she wanted to, I thought she wanted to have a kid around like May 12th-ish, like Mother's Day-ish, because she wanted... that's what I thought, but then she kind of got the idea that she wanted to have some fun in the summer and do a little bit of drinking. So then the date got switched to like September-ish.
Yeah, so like August we were talking.
Late August, September. So if everything goes to plan, I suppose that would be the date. And I am not nervous. I'm just very worried about how hard it's going to be. But much in the same way, like Alex is like, oh, because I had a sibling that's a certain amount of time apart. I'm kind of in the similar situation. My sister's 2.5 years older than me, but I always kind of wished that we were even closer in age. So in school, we could have like been a little bit mm-hmm. closer than we ended up being. So that's the logic. I'm like very, very, very worried, but it's something I really want. So it's one of those weird things.
Yeah, but that's even like with one kid, it's so scary. It's what you really want, but it's so scary. But then you have it, and it's manageable. Kid, but you realize that it's manageable, and then
it's more exciting though. With one kid, the excitement overweighs the worry and everything.
But you don't know how excited you'll be when we're having another kid, like when you're actually in the process.
That's true, but I've already been through it once. It's kind of like,
yeah, but now it's different. Now it's like, oh, we already have this one that does all this. What's this next one going to look like? What's this kid going to be like?
Yeah, it's kind of like, I think your first kid is kind of like your first Christmas where you still believe in Santa Claus.
Well, they make you a parent, your first kid.
Pardon me?
Your first kid makes you a parent for the first time.
I know that. I'm just on a little bit of a tangent here about Santa, if you'll let me finish. So, yeah, I think the first kid is like, if I was just to do an analogy, it would be like when you're 5 years old, Santa's real, you know you're getting gifts, it's so super exciting. And I think the second kid, excitement-wise, might be like you're 12. And it's like, yeah, this is cool, but also, like, you know, it's just, I don't believe in Santa anymore, the magic's gone a little bit. I think, like, maybe this is
insensitive.
You're
such a twerp. I'm going to keep this, and I'm going to send it to the kid when they're, like, 16.
The kid could end up being better than Lucy.
I know.
But I'm just saying excitement-wise, because when you do something, anything for the first time,
yeah.
But the worry has overcome everything
yeah.
for the second kid, like for me.
See, the only thing that I'd be really worried about is if I, for some reason, got pregnant with twins. That's mm-hmm. the only thing.
Oh, my
that
goodness.
Jory, do you ever think, like, I initially wanted twins right off the bat, because then I was like, oh, this is
like
great.
Everyone does. And then all of a sudden you get pregnant, and you're like, okay, yeah, no, that seems way too overwhelming. Yeah.
Yes. And then...
Plus all of you people who actually manage all of that.
Okay, I met a man this week. I was working with him. He had triplet daughters, and they were all in dance. He was showing me pictures from their dance recital. And all three of them were in, like,
oh,
the cutest
goodness.
Little dance outfits. But I asked him how he was doing, and he was just like, I thought I was tired. This man is tired. I've never met anybody more tired than this guy. But what about you? Do you have one right now? And do you have any siblings?
Yes. Yeah. So I have a little sister who's about 22 months younger than me, and I have loved growing. We're like the best of friends now. We were growing up. So that's kind of what ideally I want to. I think I just worry that, like, dealing with the baby, like, I can't put my daughter's name is Lola, put Lola to bed or like read her story. I feel like I'm just going to have to let go of that loss a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that definitely is how I picture it. I picture it like more as kind of just managing and like managing little disasters and like chaos. But people do it, and people have always done it. And that always like gives me a lot of calm. Just thinking, okay, you know what? My parents did it, and my mom was going through university at the time. Or, you know, so-and-so's parents did it, and they were going through this, and everybody's going through something. And, like, Shane and I are lucky that we have a lot of help. And I think that if you are in a position where you are even getting offered a little bit of help, like one person that's saying, hey, I'll come over for 2 hours in the day, or I'll come over for 15 minutes in the day so you can shower, whatever – you just have to start taking that help, and nobody can be too proud to take help at that point.
Absolutely.
Because then things will sort themselves out and it'll be fantastic. But
yeah, I just think we're really going to start aging on the second kid. Like, I'm going to work out way less. I'm just going to be like,
no, you work too hard against that in the sense of like physical health and stuff.
I'll try. We'll see. Stay tuned, Jory.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for the call, Jory. Take care.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
See, I like Jory's upbeat.
Yeah.
We get two types of colors. Right? The ones that are like very cool, and Jory, who's also very cool but peppy.
Well, it gives me energy, and then I feel like we're disappointing people the second we answer the phone. Sometimes, like, we don't even have to say anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we're disappointing them.
Want to ask each other a question?
Yeah, let's do it.
Want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. If Lucy stopped growing hair right now, would you encourage her to get a wig or shave off the fray baby hairs on her head and just own being bald?
Oh, own being bald for sure. And then, because if she had to wear a wig, first of all, she'd always be uncomfortable with herself, which is hard enough if you have hair.
That's an assumption, though.
Yeah. But
you're saying women who wear wigs are uncomfortable with themselves? Plenty of women wear wigs.
No, I know that. But I mean, because you can't grow hair, which a lot of people can't, that's obviously just a huge factor in how you see things. So,
but what do you mean? Women who can't grow hair who wear wigs are uncomfortable?
Now I'm confused, babe.
What?
Now I'm confused.
What?
I'm just answering my question.
You're wigging out. Okay.
No, I would encourage her to totally own the baldness. First of all, if we're just speaking.
So you would say.
Very surface. Because
you know how she. Like, I'm saying if she was just destined to always have as many hairs as she has right now.
Yeah, which shave is about it off. Shave hairs. It off. And or like not even shave it. Let's wax it so that stuff stays out of there. We don't get a little prickly head. Let's wax it. Shine it up. Take good care of that scalp. You know, lather sunscreen on it, but get it spray tanned. So that way she's just got like a really nicely colored. And I mean, I think that her skin tone is going to be similar to yours. So like olivey, kind of Mediterranean-y. So just, you know, kind of keep that bald head glowing and be proud of it. And then, I mean, think of all the opportunities you can get if you are.
It's endless.
No, but, you know, you think of people with unique features and things like that, like Winnie Harlow, the model, with I don't know what it's called, the skin where the skin's lighter,
vitiligo,
like, yeah, where like melatonin is different,
vitiligo, okay. Yeah,
so somebody like Winnie Harlow, or then there's that other model who she has like I don't know what it's called, but she doesn't have bones in certain places in her face. Shane's just giving me a look because I can't figure out what this is and I don't want to say it wrong and I'm very nervous. But she's missing like facial bones, and she has some kind of disease that she was born with that affects her bones. Anyway, she doesn't have any teeth or anything like that.
Well, good for her.
Anyways, so. I would want Lucy to feel extremely comfortable in who she was. And if she needed to wear a wig to feel comfort, then wear a wig. But I would really try to encourage her not to, and to just be her big old bald self.
I say just keep the, like, she has about 18 hairs right now. I say keep those just forever.
It's really kinda, you wouldn't,
it's kind of funny.
So you'd rather her be Homer Simpson with the couple hairs than like Gandhi?
I don't know. It was more of a joke. It was more of a joke question and answer. Let's see if this makes the pod. I'm not sure. But let's do a call. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Question? Yeah. Okay. What are your thoughts on sharing baby photos on social media? It's something we both do. And is there anything that would make you not want to share them? Have any of your friends ever said, like, you know, anything about why they don't share?
No. I'm like, we run a blog where we...
Yeah, but why do you feel comfortable with that?
Just because I do. I don't know. It's like, well, why do I feel comfortable being a bit of a goofball? Like, I don't know. I just, it's part of my DNA and who I am. And it, in a way, if we don't show her, like, think about celebs when they just hide their faces. I'm not even a person who's like, I really want to see Tom Cruise's daughter or whatever. But if she's hiding her face, I'm like, I just want to know what she looks like. Then all of a sudden, you're obsessed with what the kid looks like. Like, blanket? we have a friend who's like, there's one picture of the kid. I'm like, I just want to sneak up and like see it. You know what I mean? Like, is it ugly? What's wrong with it? But yeah, obviously you're fine, right?
Yeah. I have no qualms with it. I think that Lucy is being so helpful to people, even though she can't realize it yet. When she's older, maybe she will realize.
Yeah, the way she was bashing a bunch of corn cobs together. No, but honestly, she was bashing a bunch of corn cobs together. She had a corn on the cob in each hand. And I was just thinking how much that's helping people.
You're a Goomba. No, it's because through her experiences, through our experiences together, we're helping a lot of women and their children who are in the same position.
Who's this, Turney?
Shelby.
Oh.
Shelby.
I like the
name. No, call the first one.
Okay.
Hello.
Shelby, how are you?
Good. How are you, girl?
Oh, I'm very good. Here with Shane. Thanks for leaving us your number today.
No problem. Hi, Shane.
Hello.
So, Shelby, can you just kind of, before we get into anything, who are you? What do you do? Because I think a lot of the women that follow or listen to this, a lot of them are from Hamilton, and they might recognize you.
Cool. Yeah. Apparently, I'm like a new local Hamilton celeb.
You are.
So, my name's Shelby. I have lived in the Hammer for a year and a half now. And I, about 4 months ago, I started the Community Moms Hamilton because I just felt like there wasn't anything super cool happening in the city for moms, and I'm sort of like a mommy group dropout, and just wanted to start something, a community to give moms a great day, bring moms together to check out all the cool stuff that this cool city has to offer.
That's awesome. And I've heard, or it might be written on your account, that you're affiliated with Moms Toronto. So were you friends with the girls that ran that when you lived there, or how does that work?
Well, I had just sort of like, because before Hamilton, like, pretty much one in two people in Hamilton, I feel, lived in Toronto previously. So when I was in Toronto and got pregnant, I had followed Alana from Moms Toronto, and she was posting so many cool events. And when I was about like 3.5 months postpartum, like in the dead of winter, you know, in my bed watching her Instagram stories, I was like, oh, we need to do cool events like this in Hamilton. So I reached out to her, and we were just like, yeah, let's start a Hamilton chapter. And I hit the ground running. And so, yeah, they have a really great big following, a big brand awareness in Toronto. And so that's definitely helped the community here. But yeah.
Hell yeah. No, it's amazing. And the events that you host are not what you'd typically expect from mommy group. And I like the mommy group dropout. It reminds me actually of Rebel Moms out of Toronto. But
I love them.
No, they're amazing. Mm-hmm. What was their book called? It's had like the handbook for the cool moms.
Yeah.
But so your events, like you run the, did you start the brewery thing on Tuesdays?
No. Lindsay from Grain and Grit started that like right at the same time that I was starting Moms Hamilton. And so we sort of just like banded together. But yeah, that that's like sort of an every week event. And then my goal with Moms Hamilton is we do pretty much, last week we did like 3 events in 2 weeks, which was crazy. But my goal is like one event every 2 weeks, whether it's like we go to Shorty's and have pizza lunch with the babies, or we go for brunch, or we go have like a pop-up in the park. Or last night we did Mom's Night Out, which was wild and so fun. And yeah, lots more stuff to come.
I love that you just started this on your own. I didn't know that. And I so love that story because so many people have complained to me like, oh my God, Hamilton looks so great. What a good mom scene. You know, Denver has nothing, wherever they live has nothing. And I'm like, start something. And this is such a good example of that. It's like you're sitting there bored watching Netflix. Start something. You be the founder of the mom group for your city. I love that so much.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what I realized. I was like, you know what? I was nervous when I started it. I was like, I don't know how this is going to go, but let's go with it. And it's been amazing. I have like a leadership. It's not just myself. I do definitely do a lot of the work, but I have a leadership team of about 8 moms that help me to run it because it's definitely a lot of work, but it's worth it. And I'm happy to do it. So it's fun. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, Shelby, what was the thing you were calling in about? Question, comment, tip?
Well, you were like, I remember you posted yesterday, you're like, what, any tips for a tired mom? And just, I guess because our mom's night out just happened last week and I had, like, everybody was like, at the end of the night was like pretty much dancing out of the bar and was like, we need to do this again. I can't wait for the next one. And had so many people messaging the next day having so much fun. So that was in my head. And so I commented, I was like, I just think whether you're on mat leave or you're back to work or however old your kid is, like, you need a night out with your friends. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a date night with your partner. Like, although those are needed too, and I know you and Shane have talked about those before. But a night out with your friends. So whether it's like for a nice dinner, whether you want to drink and go dancing, or like a cooking class or a spa night, just like get the fuck out of your house and like then come home, and maybe your partner's already sleeping. Maybe like watch a show you want to watch, smoke a joint, go to bed, and that's. I just think, but maybe not even once a month, once every 2 months, whatever works for you. But, and the other thing is when my mom, friends and I go out, we always have one rule. It's like Fight Club. No one talks about their kids. Like we can bitch about our husbands and our partners. That's okay. But no baby talk. And it's so hard. Like, it's so much easier said than done, right? Because 10 minutes and you're like, oh my God, guess what little Joey did yet for the first time yesterday. But, and also when you go out with your partner for a date, I think it's so easy just to talk about your baby and the future for your baby, and you know, and it's just natural to talk about those things, but it feels good to go like 3-ish hours without doing it, right?
Oh, 100%.
What do you do if someone breaks the rule?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I mean, depending on the setting, like buy a round of shots for everybody, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. But
that's a great punishment.
Yeah. No, it's not like a cold hard rule, but quickly change topic.
I like it. And I think that is because baby talk, like we'll talk about your kids, consumes so easily every conversation if you let it. Like so easily. Oh, it's so
good. Absolutely.
So you mentioned something just now that I kind of want to ask you about. So you said that, you know, relax, do whatever it is, smoke a joint. That is hugely taboo, I find, in the mom world. Where we live, it has became legal for recreational use. So I just want your kind of insight on that. Moms smoking weed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, as you said, it's definitely a taboo topic. I'm definitely a cannabis advocate. I'm not any sort of medical profession, but I mean, my opinion is I think all moms need some form of chill in their life. So weed is a great option. And like, do you know of a super zen mom of a young child? Because if you do, please let me know what other substances she may be using to be zened out all the time. No, I'm just kidding. I just, like, I whether it's legal, illegal, prescribed, whatever it is. No, I'm just kidding. I think, you know, I understand that cannabis is not for everyone. And there's a lot of moms out there who do smoke, like myself, and even more who are really cannabis curious. Mm-hmm. So I think a couple of weeks ago, I was invited to a Women in Weed event. So there's a couple of really great communities. So She Can, which is run by a Canadian mom from Alberta. She has a community where she's really working to empower Canadian women and moms when it comes to both medical and recreational cannabis use. And it was also hosted by Vanderpop, which is another like women's sector cannabis brand. So the reality is like you said, it's definitely a taboo topic. And and even though it's legal here now, anything like moms plus illegal things is like just like hard for anybody to reconcile in their brains.
Big time.
But because especially since it's legal now, the conversations are changing and people are becoming more curious. But it's funny because, like you said, like mom smoking weed, I'm a proud marijuana mom, but no one really questions if dads are going to be smoking weed. And, you know, a lot of conversation around the normalization of moms who wine, like baby goes to bed, need my wine. But like I personally don't drink wine. And so I just think, yeah, a lot of education and conversation needs to happen so that moms don't feel shame about if they use cannabis for whichever reason, medical, recreation. But like these conversations can't happen if there's stigma, right? So those companies, SheCan and Vanderpop are really great ones I mentioned that are focusing on good conversations. And yeah.
Do you think the stigma exists because women are unsure if they can breastfeed and smoke weed? And they just don't know the answer. So it's like they might get judged more if they are.
Totally, totally. And even like breastfeeding and also just like smoking weed and then having, you know, being like your child under your supervision, right? So there's people who I follow certain moms, you know, and there's daily cannabis smokers who use it and like are proud to be like, yeah, I did a CBD capsule like before I went to my kid's piano recital because obvious reasons. And I'm still a fully like fine functioning human being. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think Shane, that there's definitely stigma around it for being judged. So the same woman, Ashley Brown from SheCan, she sort of talked about it a little bit at the event I was at, and she sort of said that there's been a lot of research that is there hasn't been a lot of research, which is the problem because no one really wants to be a guinea pig that. But a lot of the science shows that it is sort of similar to like the drinking, consuming alcohol and breastfeeding rule, which I think is like 2 hours. But yeah, everyone's tolerance and levels are different. But I think, you know, and again, like I said, disclaimer, I'm not a medical professional, but I'm obviously a cannabis advocate. And at the end of the day, cannabis is a natural plant. And I know that, you know, my mother and many other people consumed, whether not knowingly or not knowingly, many chemical filled substances when we were in the womb and when we were babies. I think like one of my first solid meals was chemical, can of beefaroni. That was one of my favorite meals. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that it's like smoke and breastfeed by any means, but I just think that there's, as long as you're educated about it and understand what it is you're consuming, then I think you're good to go.
Well, and the good news too is now that it is legal, it's a lot more regulated than when I was in high school and a guy would be like, this is the strongest stuff in the world. And that was pretty much the only option you had if you want to smoke weed. Now you can get like my friends who are dads, they have stuff they call dad weed, which is the mildest weed ever, where you'd barely even know you were high almost. You would just feel slightly more relaxed. And for people who are a little more cautious, like moms looking to maybe dip their toe in the water, maybe they could start with that and be consequence-free almost.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, totally. Yeah, and that's, like you said, that's the good thing. Now that it's legal, like when I went to this event, I was, like you said, when we were in high school, it was like, okay, like weed is weed. There was no difference. Now, this one is for like mom's night out. This one is for when you want to go to bed. This one is for when you're on your period. This one is for when you haven't, like, there's so much out there. And I think that actually can be almost more overwhelming to people. But, you know, I think the other like interesting point to make is whether you choose to like use or smoke or however you want to use cannabis, it's especially important for moms, like for us to be part of this conversation, because if we aren't educated on it, then how are we like going to teach our kids about it, right? When they're old enough. And just like, we need to be more informed than anybody, whatever you want, your values are around it. So
true. Oh,
that's perfect. Yeah. That's so good, Shelby. So does this mean Moms Hamilton cannabis event in the future?
I'm thinking in the very near future, we're going to do a cannabis curious event. There's a really couple really cool Hamilton, companies that I'm looking to partner with. So I think there would be a lot of people would be excited about that. Do you think?
Hell yeah. I think that would be so great. A cannabis friendly coffee shop just opened up down the street from us.
Ooh, so nice.
Yeah, they sell like CBD oils and things like that.
Okay, I have two questions though, for you. What do you think about gummies And this is two parter. What do you think about shrooms?
Okay. with the gummies, so in the fall apparently it's like legalization 2.0 with I think I've had a gummy once maybe in my life, I forget, but when all this is happening in the fall, and that's the other thing that, I mean, this maybe doesn't have to turn into a whole conversation about marijuana, but just in general, like men, women, parent or not parent, smoking it is becoming a way less popular form of consumption. There's so many different like oils and pens and like liquid gels and all this type of stuff. So I think, and the reality is, you know, because as you guys know, if you have or have never smoked a joint, it smells, right? So that's another stigma. You don't want to go somewhere and be like, oh my gosh, people knew I smoked weed. But you could do instead of walking into your kid's piano recital danking like weed, like you used it a different way. So that also I think can help to normalize like the usage of it,
right?
Because like smoking has, you know, it has a negative connotation.
But I do feel like people are scared, because I think, I don't know this either, but I always get the perception that when someone eats a weed gummy, it's always, this isn't working, call 911. It's like there's only two levels, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's more fear in a gummy than there is in smoking weed, but there's more stigma attached to smoking weed. So it's a little tricky to balance. Yeah.
That's very true. I know gummy. I think any form of edible. My mom definitely will listen to this, but she told me like last week her friend after a golf tournament had a weed brownie and she ate one, and she told me about her experience. And my mom like never consumes cannabis, so I think edibles are definitely more for like a intermediate to expert cannabis connoisseur. But I know it's, again, like people use them like before they're about to get on a long flight, because like you can't smoke a joint in an airport, stuff like that. So when it comes to like actual like, you know, whether you're, you know, like you said, I think when you think of eating something, you think of like greening out, but I think people are using them for like actually good, like coping mechanisms for whether they have like anxiety or insomnia and all that type of stuff.
Right. Cause I heard shrooms are becoming legal also in
they just did. They just did in California or something?
Yeah.
Colorado?
Somewhere in California. Yeah. So do you say yay or nay to that?
Okay. I did shrooms once in my life, and it was the only night that I literally never went to sleep.
Right. So not recommended for sleeping if you're a mom considering it.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe not like mushrooms for moms. I'm a marijuana mom, but maybe not a mushroom mom.
I say if Shelby's saying no to it, do not do it.
Yeah. No shrooms. Yeah. Hell yeah. Thank you so much, Shelby, for answering all our questions. That was awesome. And would love to know more about Mom's Cannabis event when that happens, because I do think that is so important. And actually, I have some people that you could talk to maybe for that too, that would love to know about it.
Yeah, let's talk then, for sure.
Amazing. Thank you so much, and enjoy your Saturday night.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Yeah. Okay, go Thanks, smoke Shelby. A joint, would you?
Bye.
Okay, good night.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Just thought of a question. How would you feel if Lucy started smoking weed in high school?
No, I
they don't call it high school for nothing. I'm doing the weed symbol with my fingers. You're for the people goofball. Listening.
No, I wouldn't be happy with that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Because
you seemed very into it over the phone.
Yeah, no, and you know, I think it's different. I'm an adult. I'm an established adult. And I can make decisions for myself. In high school, you're still getting very influenced by people around you. And you're still working your ass off to get to where you want to be. Not to say we aren't, because you and I work really hard to get to where we still want to be. But at just such a young, impressionable age, no. We're going to get Lucy so into sports that she's not going to think twice about it.
Because I do think, too, there's a brain development thing where your brain's not fully developed until you're 25.
It's not. 25, yeah.
So, yeah. Good point. And the place I want to be, by the way, in case anyone's wondering, is retired doing nothing in a tropical place.
Tropical, though? There's too many bugs. I want to be
a bugless tropical
place.
Babe,
I want to be retired doing nothing in, Greece.
Yeah.
Or like the Italian coast.
I consider that tropical. Maybe it's dumb of me, but
that's beautiful. Greek island, babe.
Because I'm not one of these people who's just like ambitious for the sake of it. Like I want the end goal to be doing nothing. Sorry. So are we out of phone calls?
No, we've got one more.
We do? Okay, yeah, let's give this person again. This is Terry?
Yes. So Terry is a parenting expert. She's written a couple books. She did a takeover on my account, This Family Tree, a couple days ago. And she had a lot of great information. And I think she's going to tell us a little bit more about it right now.
Okay. Does she have a question or is she just going to give us the...
Well, Lucy's been tantruming, so I think she's going to give us some tips.
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Hi, Terry. How's it going?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
So Terry, can you just give me a really quick background on who you are and what you do?
So my name's Terry Manrique, and my company is working with parents, and I am a parent coach. So I work with families who deal with behavior issues from mild to extreme in the home. So essentially, I'm kind of like the super nanny, but we work with families earlier because we want to get to them sooner before they get into developing some really poor bad habits and not waiting until they're in their teens. So we want to make sure that we help families before that it gets that extreme.
Right. So what age group do you think you typically work with?
So ideally, the age group that I work with most of the time is families from 0 to 8 years old.
Okay. So us right now, I mean, we've only got one child, Lucy. And to be honest, I didn't think that I would be feeling the need to talk to a parent coach or behavior specialist this early because Lucy is only about 13 months.
Okay.
However, she has been throwing the craziest little tantrums.
She's a bit of a diva.
She's a diva.
A lot of a diva.
They all are. She's got a personality. She's got spunk. That's why.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's like her dad from what I've been watching.
Yeah, sounds like it. Is it normal for a kid that's 13 months? Like, Terry, so she will, like, over the smallest thing, like me taking away the remote control from her or not.
She's just playing with the remote control, by the way. She's not like watching TV I decide what we watch.
Yeah. No, like she likes to chew on it and she likes to press the buttons. So if I like take that away from her or if I, you know, put her into a safe position, if she's sitting somewhere unsafely, she will start like throwing herself backwards. She doesn't care if she is up on a chair or if she's on the ground or if she's about to hit her head on something hard. And then she'll put her hands on the ground and she'll slam her head on the ground. And initially when this started, just not knowing what to expect and not knowing that one-year-olds could even do this, I was wondering, I was thinking, could this be early signs of Tourette's or autism or something? Like, is this normal or is this something I need to watch out for?
No, this is very normal because what happens is with children who are 12 months and up, they're starting to be very aware of their own body, right? That they can, you know, do things on their own and they have somewhat some say, right? Because, you know, in the beginning, they're relying on you most of the time to do everything, right? So you probably even noticed this earlier on when she was maybe 8 months, 6 months, when she was starting to be more mobile and crawling and things like that. So even like if you put her in the circle in the middle with a bunch of toys, I'm almost sure that she passed all those toys and went more for the objects of like the everyday household things. Like, you know, like you said, the remote, maybe the shoes,
the cell phone,
you know, things that are not the telephone, right? Things that are not the toys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So usually what you do at that point is you want to always kind of redirect them. So that's where you can kind of tell, one is like their personality type, if they're going to have a little bit more spunk.
And if you put it so nicely.
So if you would have like, you know, early on, if you would have already noticed her doing that, if you would have, you know, gone back to pick her up and put her back in the area where she's supposed to be and kind of give her those boundaries. And then she would go back out of that area, out of her, you know, restricted area. And she'd go back and pass it up, you know, for you to kind of bring her back to the circle of where you want her. That's kind of how parents can start training their kids to say, nope, this is where I want you to go. And the same thing, like now is she mobile now? Is she starting to climb on things?
Very much. Yep. She's close to walking, but I mean, she can climb up anything. She goes up and down the stairs. Yep. She gets around.
So even if she starts to like climb on things that you don't want her to, you easily can, you know, let her know and say, that's not what, you know, that's not for, you know, that's not for you. Or instead of just saying no, you actually want to name the behavior, what you do want instead. So, you know, and you would just redirect her to go somewhere else. And it's okay if they have their tantrums. It's okay if they have their fits, because that's how they're kind of communicating, because they can't. That's kind of like their nonverbal communication, right? So it's all right for them to do that. You just have to be, so I don't know if you ever heard of the CPR philosophy. So the CPR philosophy is something that you do, is that you apply compassion, patience, and respect. So the compassion part is where you can still be the authority as the parent, but be very compassionate about what she's going through. Mm-hmm. So the fact, you know, some parents take compassion a little bit too extreme, where they're like, okay, here you go, have what you want. And then we're just undermining ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. So now the child learns how to manipulate you, where you can use compassion in a different way, where you can still be the authority and say, I know you want that. I'm so sorry you want that, but you can't have it. I'm sorry. So that's where you have that firm set tone, as far as like, not tone, but that's where you have that firm like foundation stance, of saying that stance that I'm the parent. You know, I understand that you don't like what I'm telling you, but unfortunately, this is not something that you can have, or this is not something you can do. And I'm very sorry you're feeling this way. And I understand you're very upset, but you'll get past it. We'll get through it together. Mm-hmm. And that's where you, as the parent, you know, apply that compassion, patience, and respect, where you're being patient for them to kind of work through the emotions. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is about kids is that, you know, the first level of your brain is really what's making us function, what's making us alive, what keeps us alive, right? So that first layer of the brain is what's keeping us alive. The second layer is the emotional state. And then the third layer is the high functioning state. So that's why kids go straight to the emotions, because they have to work through the emotions in order for them to process before they go to the higher level thinking. Mm-hmm. And so you have to, as parents, we just have to be there for them while they get through their emotions and kind of just be, you know, empathetic and say, I'm sorry, you know, I'm so sorry you can't have that. I'm so sorry that, you know, I know you want this, but this is not for you. Here's, and then you can replace it with something else. And she might not want that because she's so stubborn. And, you know, kids are stubborn, right? They're like, mm-hmm. No, I really want that. Well, I'm sorry, that's not a choice. And then you just have to let her work through that tantrum. And a lot of times parents, what we do is because we don't want to see our kids suffer, right? We don't want to see them sad. We don't want to see them in pain. We don't want to see that. But that's how kids learn how to self-regulate and self-soothe. And the only way a child can learn how to do that is from getting from A to Z on their own without putting the Band-Aid on. Now, you can't. The nice thing about kids at this age, 15 months and under, that distraction is really there. They can get distracted really easily. So you can pretty much like, oh, look, what's over there? What is that? You know, and you can just change their mind pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Where she could be distracted and forget about the remote, right? So at this age right now, you can still do that. You can do that up to maybe about 15, 18 months. Because you said she's how old right now?
13 months.
13 months, yeah. So you can do that up to 15, 18 months. You can kind of still continue to do that. After that, then you kind of just have to let her work through her emotions. But when she gets in that state of that tantrum, or she's having a fit, just redirecting her and just bringing her attention to something else, she'll get distracted very quickly. Okay. So that's a really easy way for you to break that cycle of her getting into that tantrum mode or into that state of, you know, losing control.
Is there any age or stage where spanking would be acceptable? Or is that taboo?
Well, it's, you know, there, believe it or not, some parents do actually still spank, right? But what I tell parents is, what is the child getting out of that? What learning? Yeah. What are you teaching from that? And not just that, but spanking is just a quick fix,
yeah.
Right? Spanking actually isn't changing the behavior, fixing the behavior, or helping them improve the behavior. It's just a quick fix. And it's really not going to stop the behavior, honestly. So you can easily do the CPR philosophy in the same way by saying, you can sit here until you're done, until you, you know, until you're ready to cooperate with me. But until then, we're not doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that too. But spanking really is not going to change the behavior or fix the behavior. It's just a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. You know, the 1-2-3 method, that doesn't really work because there's no difference between 1 and 3. Timeouts still really don't work either because, again, oh, wow, you're not changing the behaviors. Timeouts is more of like, really, timeouts are more for parents. Like, I need a break from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to remove you from me. So when you do the cooperating technique, and that's something that I developed, you know, through our program, when you do the cooperating technique, you don't have to remove the child into another room. You don't have to separate them. You can do it right there, mm-hmm, in right where you are. And you can have the child sit there and say, you can sit here until you're ready to cooperate. Now, you wouldn't do this with her yet because she's too young.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that you can do with her when she's like around 2 and she's starting to understand more.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you can do when she's 2 years old. But the timeout is kind of just like pushing her away. And, you know, it's like, oh, wait till, you know, 2 minutes, 3, you know, having them there, they sit there for 2 minutes for 2 years old, 3 minutes. But you know what? Sometimes kids need more than 2 minutes to get through their emotions, mm-hmm, to get through their moment. And if they need, you know, 15 minutes, if they need 20 minutes, we need to allow them to have that because they have to learn how to work through that. And, you know, that's what we really do the most is really teaching parents, how do we teach our kids to work through their emotions and learn how to self-regulate? Because when a child can learn how to self-regulate, things can be dramatically different. Because the thing is this, kids will go through 2 phases of tantrums. The first 5 years, they go through their tantrums. And then in between that, they kind of like, they're kind of get away from it. But then they go through a second phase between middle school and high school. So if we learn how to do this early on between 0 and 5 years old of how to deal with their emotions and set that foundation, the second phase won't be so dramatic because they'll already learn how to work through these things on their own and with your support. So they won't be as nasty or as aggressive or right, as mouthy because you've already laid the foundation so early on, mm-hmm, between 0 and 5.
What are your
and when you do that, go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what are your thoughts on you're not leaving here till you finish your dinner?
Well, okay, so that's a good point. So, you know, again, actually, I just had a client, and he said, you know what, Terry, I realized I skipped the whole CPR philosophy when we were doing this with him. And the child, you know, so what you can do, this is what I always tell parents when it comes with food, always, always serve and if you want your kids to really be involved and eat the foods that they're eating, when they start to be 15 months, so at 15 months, I did this with all my kids, plus I still do this with my grandbaby. At 15 months, you can start getting them involved with the food preparation. You get your kids, when you get your kids involved with food prepping and cooking with you, they take pride into the work that they did. So the more likely they're going to eat the food that you made, because they're part of the process. Now, does that mean they're going to be in the kitchen with you the full time you're cooking? No, it means that they're going to be in the kitchen with you for the first 5, 10, 15 minutes, depending on what age they are. And that's more than enough time to have that bonding experience, right? That's more than enough time to have that. And then after that, when they're done, they can go ahead and play. You fulfill their need to be, you know, to have that connection with you. But the likeliness for them to try new things is much higher than if you just say, here, come and eat your food.
But is it okay, though, just to let them say, okay, they only ate half their dinner? Is it okay to just say, that's fine? Or do you have to make sure they eat everything?
No. I mean, they don't have to eat everything. Now, you have to remember, kids' stomach. I mean, if you look at our size, how much our portion size should be for us, it's actually very little.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if we look at the portion size of what we should be eating, it's not a lot,
mm-hmm,
but we overserve ourselves. So you have to remember, sometimes we overserve our kids too. And kids will eat the first 10, 15 minutes. And then when they're done, they'll be done with the first 10, 15 minutes, whatever they eat. And then they go through phases. They go through these waves where they eat everything. And then there are waves where they just don't have that appetite. always serve them everything that you have on your plate, because one day you'll go in that phase where they're super hungry and they're starting to eat things, and they'll just keep trying new things. But when you stop giving them those things, they're going to stop trying it. So always have it on the plate. Give them, you know, especially if it's new things, always give them like maybe a teaspoon of a serving. Have them taste each item, and then they can have seconds of whatever item they like.
I love that. But that echoes. I've been using, it's called Feeding Littles, to help me be baby-led weaning with Lucy, and that like echoes everything they say too. I like that so much. And what I like about every approach and the questions that Shane asked, every approach and like the self-regulation, it all has to do with like constructive discipline as opposed to discipline for the sake of discipline. And I think that's so important. And I think that we're instinctively, a lot of parents, especially new parents, might, you know, even just as people, just go right for discipline because they're angry, something's out of their control, whatever. But constructive discipline is so much more effective and
so much
better for everybody. Yeah. I think that's so great.
Yeah, it's so much more effective. And you don't lose control of yourself. That's the thing. And, you know, and that's why we love, you know, introducing the CPAR philosophy, because when you do that, you actually are more in tune with yourself, because it's not about you. It's about your child, and you have to be there for them. And when you start removing yourself and your ego out of it, that's the only reason parents get upset. Mm-hmm. That's really the only reason, because you're not listening to me. You're not doing what I want. It's you, you're not doing what I want. Me.
Big time.
Well, it's not about you. It's about them, and they're learning through this world. They're learning all the things that we take for granted. They are learning this from the ground up, and we just expect that they should just know how to communicate. They should just know how to do these things. No, they're learning how to do these things, and the more you understand that, the more you're going to look at things through different lenses, right? You're going to change your perspective of how you're going to parent, because you're going to realize, you know what, we have to be there for them, and we have to wait until they can learn what we want from, you know, what we want them to do. And when you start to realize and you are there more as a mentor, the less likely you're going to get frustrated.
I love that. And honestly, as a teacher, and as a teacher who works with, you know, other teachers who I see having difficulties with their classroom management for that exact reason.
I think that is
such great advice to take to, you know, not only parenting, but different jobs if it applies. So That is so awesome. Terry, thank you so, so much. This has been awesome.
Thank you. You're a great takeaway.
We really appreciate you taking our call tonight.
Sure. No problem. Thank you, guys. I love what you guys are doing. I love your show. I'm glad you guys started a podcast.
You're the best.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Terry. Have a great Saturday.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Great. Wow.
Yeah. Dropping knowledge.
I love that so much. Yeah. That was so good. But it's funny because I do see that all the time. And sometimes even when I'm teaching and, you know, they're older kids, so you think they should know better, but they're still figuring it out too. And they've got, not only are they just learning, but they've got hormones to deal with and school stuff to deal with and relationships, all that new, you know, high school stuff. And then so many people get frustrated as teachers because they're just demanding respect.
Yep.
And it's hard. It's hard. I think that's such a good mindset.
So no timeouts and no spanking. Both those things she said are more for the adults.
All right. So do you want to do one more question each and then call it?
Okay. Do you prefer that Lucy likes you the best, if you're being honest with yourself here?
Would I prefer that she likes me the best? Obviously.
No. Listen to the question.
Oh.
Do you prefer that Lucy likes you the best? So this is a presumptive question.
Do I prefer that Lucy? So you're saying that Lucy does like me the best.
Yes.
And do I prefer it? At this point in her life, well, the amount that I'm doing for her and that I've given up for her physically, yes, I would hope that she prefers me. I prefer that she liked us equally, but.
Okay, so that's the answer then.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that was an option. I thought it was like a yes or no. I prefer that she likes us both the same.
Okay.
Ouch. Oopsie.
You don't secretly love
that she likes you the most. Oh, no. Not at all. Not at all. Yeah, not at all, actually. Hmm. It gives me a lot of joy when I see you guys together. And, like, today she actually, you know, when we were sitting on the chairs out front and she was climbing over and she was reaching for you actually in the back. Do you remember that? Yeah. That gave me a lot of joy and it made my heart really happy. Okay. What is the most scary experience you've had as a new parent?
Most scariest experience as a new parent? Oh, yeah, that's pretty easy. Well, Lucy was maybe... Lucy was 2 weeks old, probably, maybe less than 10 days old, actually. Mm-hmm. And we were driving with her in a car and the air conditioning stopped working.
Oh my God.
And I legit thought she was going to die of heat exhaustion.
Oh my God. Do you remember the diaper rash she had after that?
Yeah. Like, I thought we were going to, like, one, lose our child. That'd be horrible. And then get jailed for being negligent people.
I blocked that out of my memory. I was mm-hmm. going to say something else was the scariest, but that was by far the scariest experience. Remember, we're like deciding, do we pull over and sit under a tree? But it was so hot outside. We were mm-hmm. trying to decide.
So we just undid all the windows in the car and drove. And then we
took You were in the back with her, like fanning her.
Yeah. And then we were at a cottage and then there was just like all these flies and mosquitoes everywhere. Luckily we had a bug net that we wrapped her in, but yeah, I think maybe we were trying to be too cool. I don't know.
Like, maybe we're just very like, ambitious. Well,
this baby's not affecting our life. Like you had read that like Bebe and Mommy book or whatever.
Hey, bring a baby.
Yeah. And it's like where the parents have all the like power to go out and live their life. But
well, we did. We had a nice time.
Yeah, it was a great trip.
But I would like to say, everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Shane, thank you for sitting beside me and going through everything. We hope that you guys learned something. We definitely did. And we hope that you all enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank or daytime, you. If you're listening to this in the daytime.
Well, you're welcome, Alex. Thank you for listening to This Family Tree Podcast.
Thank you.
I didn't ask for that.